On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
We're relentless and kept pushing, but kind of like wasted that effort, even though I know it's not wasted because our lessons are learned, and I know we're not going to make the mistakes of the past again, but in a moment like this, we need to make these things matter.
With Andy Dirk Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only, or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague, your Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. We'll just pivot to Kawhi when we don't land Giannis. That's all right. Kawhi and AD will be a nice consolation prize. Keep cooking, Tommy D.
Well, we have maybe our future coach we should consider hiring.
Oh, who do we got? Who's our guy?
According to Ramona Shelburne,
yes,
Carmelo Anthony
wants to be the coach.
Won the game for the Knicks last night.
What did Carmelo Anthony do for the Knicks last night?
Ramona Shelburne reports, coming out of that last timeout, Carmelo yelled, "That offensive rebound's here! Go get it!" And without that,
make the move.
OG Anunoby would have never thought to follow up the shot by Brunson.
We may or may not have a problem of our coach showing up an hour late to practice every day, but I'm okay with that if Carmelo Anthony is our coach.
Would Carmelo take the ring if they gave it to him?
Yes, I think he would. For that moment, or just his career?
Just for that moment, but also for the career legacy stuff?
Yeah, I think he would. I think he would. He never got one. Why the hell not? He's not going to win one as a player. That ship has sailed.
Did you see Iman Shumpert walking around New York in his jersey? Just
the exact thing I would do if I was Iman Shumpert.
You would?
Yes. Yes. He bumped into a police officer, too, just bumbling around.
Oh, he was just all over the
area outside of Madison Square Garden, walking around with your jersey on, celebrating. We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. We will get you set for your Footy Football Cup, which is beginning today. Now, are Patrick and Danny live today or tomorrow? Is that tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's show, okay, for the USA
game.
Are
they live every day?
On location. They're doing a live location show. I couldn't remember if it was for the start of the World Cup or for the USA game. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, for the U.S. and Canada games tomorrow.
Where are they at?
The Goal Football Sports Bar over in Southeast.
Yeah, they do it's a huge outdoor watch party.
It's a block
screens,
party.
A block party. It's a big deal.
Are we going to be able to hear them?
Well, the game won't be going. The USA game's not till later in the day.
Oh,
Canada
won't
game's
be allowed,
at noon. USA game's at 6 p.m.
Could be a few rowdy Canadians that are there, you know, that maybe drown out the noise. Other than that, I think we'll be able to hear them okay.
Okay.
Pretty early in the day. But that's tomorrow. World Cup starts. We'll get to that at some point in the show today. It does have me thinking. So we just did the report, and I disagree with Wobon. I apologize to our P1 Falcons fan, Harley, who's threatening to go back to bed if we keep referencing 28-3.
I mean, you should feel better. Another team is with you.
And you got more company.
You're not alone.
You got more company here. Because that one will always be it for me, because the Super Bowl is the biggest thing in American sports, and it always will be every year, and it was Tom Brady. And I just that will always be the most iconic choke job. I did appreciate people throwing my Alamo Bowl ducks in
there.
That's
a pretty good one. 31-0
The screen grab at halftime and the screen grab in the post game. That's, you know, I'll tip of the cap on that one. It's a solid poll.
You can separate, I think, the meaning or the moments, but what I think is fair is we just bring up the big chokes.
Yes.
Like, is the Alamo Bowl close to a Game 4 NBA Finals? Not in remotely any way, but a 31-0 lead is still, with or without your starting center.
And quarterback.
It's still nuts.
Yes.
That's a lot of points.
You just got to take, if you just like take a knee the entire second half, you probably
like, win the game.
Let's milk some clock. Let's just, you know, not have any incomplete passes.
That being said, if it doesn't beat the Super Bowl because we agree it's the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
Since it's only game four and not the clinching game, like, how do you stack it up against blowing a 3-0 lead in a series? Like, how does it stack up against the Yankees
now,
blowing the whole series being up 3-0?
And maybe we view these differently, but a listener asked, where do golf chokes fall into this? Like, major championship chokes? because there's obviously some iconic ones over the years.
Yeah.
Greg Norman at the 96 Masters. Who was the bro at the Open back in the day who took his shoes off? Vandeveld?
John Vandeveld.
John Vandeveld, which is, I mean, just, my skin crawls every time I watch that clip.
I don't know if I've ever heard of that one.
Oh my God.
His name is Jean Vandeveld?
As somebody
or John
who
Vandeveld?
Likes golf,
Jean,
part of me,
Frenchie.
Oh, okay.
Part of me doesn't want you to watch it, because it,
why I almost, his shoes off?
Because he hits a ball out of water on the 18th
yeah,
hole
there's
with a three-shot
little,
lead.
Like right in front of the green, there's this little
drop.
Irrigation.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Dude, it's a level of choke that's uncomfortable.
Is it like spelled Jean, but it's Jean?
Yeah. Yeah, Jean Vandeveld at the 1999 Open Championship. It's...
What year did this happen? 99?
1999.
I don't think I've ever seen this.
I'm honestly worried every time I watch it that it's going to give me the yips. Like, it's going to, like, somehow impact my golf DNA when I... It's that uncomfortable to watch.
So he hits a
tee
shot?
It's not a slow bleed. It's the 18th hole. He has, like, a three-shot lead.
Of the Open Championship.
He just needs to, like, double bogey to win. That's all he's got to do.
What was it, Turnberry?
I think it was at Turnberry, yeah. Hits okay. Hits driver off the tee when he, yeah. Like, everybody's like, what are you doing? Just hit an 8-iron. He hits driver, gets somehow lucky that the driver doesn't go out of bounds.
Yeah, it's short of the water.
Hits out of tall grass.
Okay.
I believe it still stays in the tall grass.
Second shot, he's going long iron, so he's reaching for it.
Trying to go for the green in two.
He hits the, okay, yeah, now it's in the super tall. It's
now it's
thick,
even taller.
The thick, tall grass.
And I can't remember if it's the next shot or the shot after that, then he chunks a chip into the little ravine.
It's the very next.
And then elects
yep,
to hit.
It's the very next shot, and he is now knee, his pants are up to his knees.
And it's like, what are you doing, dude? Just take a drop. You just need a double bogey. Drop four, hit five, and he hits out of the water. Try like it's, and then somehow
in the bunker.
Yeah, he ends up holing like a decent putt, I think, at the end of it, at the end of the hole.
But he needed to make that putt for the playoff.
For the playoff, and he obviously
and it's
went
like
on
a
to lose.
12-foot putt.
Yes, yeah, so you're like, after all that, you made a 12-footer. Of course, he did not win the playoff. It's,
why did you do that?
Yeah, it's so that one will 96 Masters, Rory at the 2011 Masters, right, with his lead when
Spieth.
He hit it into Spieth.
Spieth
two balls into
the
water.
Biggest one because it was Danny Willett.
Yes, Spieth at the 2016 Masters. What else we got? We got Dustin Johnson three putting on the 18th hole at Chambers Bay when he didn't have a major championship. So there's a handful of them out there. I didn't know if we are those all in the same silo or do we separate team sport from individual sport?
I mean,
because the golf angle was a good one. There's a lot of good golf ones.
You probably have
years.
Some tennis ones too in the individual realm. I mean, I think it's fair if you want to separate individual to team.
What's the score equivalent of in tennis of what we saw last night?
Oh
that was the Yannick
of a blown.
That was the Yannick Sinner match.
Don't point at me like I know what that means.
No, just in the French Open, he was up two sets to love and two breaks in the third.
Okay.
Started cramping in the heat and lost.
Oh, and he blew it.
To the 56th ranked guy in the world in the third round of the French Open.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's a pretty good one.
That's up there.
And I'm sure there's others in the history of the sport. Yeah. I think you can separate the individual to the team.
Okay.
Like I'm really starting to try to weigh if – now, a lot of this is tough. Is like, are the Spurs going to come back?
Yes, they
or
might.
Or is the series – Wimby said this. He's like – they were asked, what's going through your mind right now? And he goes, you know, this goes one of two ways. We respond or we roll over. Like, that's what that kind of game does to you. It either makes or breaks you.
And just because they play a good game also does not guarantee that they win the game.
No, not at all. So – and you know the Knicks aren't going to go into San Antonio. I don't think the Knicks, as bad as their starts have been, are going to go into San Antonio. My take is they don't play as bad to start the game and might be going for the kill. I mean, you have to. I think you have to. You cannot be sitting
that's
back
gotta
and going.
That's got to be your mentality.
Yeah. Well, think about all of the closeout games that the Knicks had. I mean, they blew them out. They beat the Hawks by 50. They beat. Mm-hmm. It was over early.
Yeah,
now,
very true.
I don't think they're.
This isn't the Atlanta Hawks.
No.
This isn't Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
But I would expect them to come out and not play as crappy in the first quarter as they did last night.
You can use the lone 3-1 example as a form of history to not repeat. Game 5, Draymond is suspended.
Kicking the nuts.
Because of the kick in the nuts technical. And people would love to use that as to knock down a 3-1 comeback for LeBron because we're talking legacy and you know, all-time stuff.
As
so
if
let's
Draymond
knock it
didn't
down.
Play in Game 5 and Game 7.
Or Game 6 and 7,
or 6 and 7, yeah.
So he's suspended, and what did Golden State do that game? They basically rolled over.
They got killed,
They
yeah.
were like, we'll get it back in 6. They literally played like they didn't care about Game 5. They got drubbed. They went to game six. Draymond came back, didn't matter. LeBron had back-to-back 41-point games. Now we're at game seven. And look, this New York team is very unique. They seem to be built a little differently than even that Warrior team that was all-time great in the regular season. So it's not that they can't win game seven. It's more like, I think what they taught us is you just don't want to get to that point. That, like, oh my God, we've seized it all. They choked the game away. All right, go for the Barry in five.
Yeah.
Put it all out there, man. Like, don't go back to New York. I know it's nice to close out at home, but...
Oh, you're not thinking about that at all.
You're just closing it out to win the title,
I'm not playing with any sort of fate, dude. We were that close to losing both games at Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
I don't want to come back. I don't care about where we clinch. Nobody remembers
that part.
Did you think
the Garden vibes helped them in that? Because we talked about home court yesterday, and I felt like that crowd...
In the second half, when they got
going, they were electric.
They were so eager just to have anything to cheer for, because the first half was about as bad as you could ask for as a fan, literally. Nobody's leaving early. It's a finals game, and you paid $70,000 to get into the building.
Right.
So nobody's bouncing. If that's a regular season game, it's probably a pretty scattered crowd in the third quarter when you're down by 29 points.
Mm-hmm.
Not for an NBA finals game. I certainly think it had a big impact. Some of the biggest ones in baseball that have shown up, obviously the Red Sox in 86, one out away. The Buckner ground ball, right? I think that was their last out, and it goes through his legs, through the glove.
And then they came back and won
came
in
back,
seven.
Won the game seven. My Giants in 2002, a 5-0 lead in the seventh inning of game six with a 3-2 series lead, 9 outs away from a World Series. You blow it, you can't win game seven. The Rangers showed up, obviously, 2011, one strike away. You blow the lead, you end up losing the game in 10 innings. They come back and win game seven. 2001 Yankees also pops up because of the way they blew the lead in game seven of the World Series. And Mariano Rivera, in one of the rare moments of his career, not getting the job done. It's also hard to do that because they had won so many championships prior to that. I did chuckle, though, because...
My 96 Braves have got to be in this for
me. Yeah, throw the Braves in there.
They outscored the Yankees in the first two games of the 96 World Series 16-1.
Yeah.
One. 16-1.
16-1.
They lost four straight games. And they had Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox pitch in three of the four games.
At the height of their careers, peak of their powers.
And they scored a combined, 11 runs in their last four games after going for 16 in the first two.
It is funny, though, because when we look at these young generational stars, and not everyone is created the same. But I remember chuckling at the notion of two different things for a guy who was in the news yesterday, ironically, and we get to that at some point today. Patrick Mahomes was viewed as this, you know, when he burst onto the scene and had the 55 touchdown year, and it's like MVP first year as a starter.
Almost went to the Super Bowl.
Get all the way to the AFC title game. Who did he lose to in the AFC title game?
Tom Brady. Yeah.
Then he wins the Super Bowl. Oh my God, got over the hump, goes back to the Super Bowl. Who does he lose to in the Super Bowl?
Tom Brady.
And they're beating an immediate takeaway of like, well, he can never be better than Brady. He'll never be the GOAT. He lost to Brady head-to-head. It can never be his. And I had that chuckle last night thinking about Wembanyama. And I don't know if a conversation is, you know, different if it's an American-born player and we're already comparing him to LeBron or MJ, whoever your GOAT might be, if he's different because he's 7'4". I haven't quite seen that takeaway yet of he can't be Jordan anymore. Jordan never did that in the NBA Finals.
Because he missed the free
Jordan
throws.
Never blew a 29-point lead and missed 10 of his last 11 shots and 3 of his last 4 free
Either
throws.
Either did Kareem Magic, Larry LeBron, Kobe Shaq, nobody, literally nobody.
He can never be my GOAT because he blew game 4 of the NBA Finals.
Well, I mean, look, we do use that. I think we get a little out of pocket when we say, like, oh, guy lost in championship, disqualifies him. You know,
we did it to LeBron. The first time LeBron lost his finals with the worst team in the finals history.
Yeah.
We did that. Well, he can never be Jordan.
Well,
he's
not going to be 6-0.
Yep.
So
Jordan was undefeated.
Matter. I remember the broadcast coincidentally bring that up because they were down on their offensive line. So Mahomes had no time the whole game.
Right.
And ended up being a blowout. I remember listening to Romo on that broadcast and him just like, what do you think, Jim? He's got to win like 7 if he wants the title, right? He's got to win like 7 of these.
He needs like 10 now, right?
And then like, how does he come back? He's lost to Brady. Like, you can't beat Brady. If you can't beat Brady in the Super Bowl, you can be Brady the GOAT. And I was like, why are we having this conversation? Why is this a topic?
This is the takeaway.
It's so dumb. And then, you know, like Barkley, I thought Barkley brought up an interesting point. I don't know where your thoughts are. You know me, I understand why people feel how they feel about the game and the sport. I also will push back. I think the game has never been played harder, faster, just the way and the style of it. And people roll their eyes when I say that stuff, and I totally understand it. But that's just my opinion, having watched basketball my whole life. I rewatched the 90 classics half the time, half the court's not moving. They're standing just watching it. I'm like, now you're watching, and at all times, guys are constantly roaming.
Yeah, the flow never stops.
The flow never stops. Barkley said last night he used it as a point to bring up the problem with basketball. And I thought that was interesting because he noted the 8 straight possessions the Spurs shot threes and missed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going through, after calling them the dumbest team in NBA history, basically like, you need to bleed clock. Why are you just shooting threes the whole time? And he goes, that's the problem with today's game. And I think he was onto something. He was onto something. He was with it. And that's where I don't like it. And it's so easy for all of us to say it. That's not the way the sport's played anymore. And I'm not saying all the threes were good threes. I'm not saying they shouldn't have bled clock. They should have.
I'd have to go back and look exactly where the shot clock was and what
they had. Like, 4 of the 8 were shot within 4 to 5 seconds of the shot clock instead of bleeding it all the way down to 3.
It's also tough because it's hindsight. If you make the shot, nobody's saying, why are you shooting the shot?
Well, think about how hot they were. They shot 70% in the first quarter.
Let it fly. You can't miss.
They had 30 more points in 3-pointers at the midway point of the second quarter than the Knicks. It was 13-3. So, like, their entire 76 points was built up largely by their ability to shoot. And so, like, I'm in this weird, like, I agree with Barkley, but I kind of don't agree with Barkley. And it's just, it's interesting how, like, when something happens that's monumental in the sport, we use it as the launch point to say, this is the problem with the sport.
Yeah.
Instead of in football, if a team blows a lead, do we go, that's the problem with modern day NFL? It's like, we don't do that.
You don't have a fullback anymore. You can't milk the clock late.
Yeah, I'm running through the guards, Kenny.
Where's Jim, like, Kleinsaucer when you need him?
We're not doing
that great football back.
In baseball, they're not like, you know, that starting pitcher should have thrown 130 pitches today. Like, we don't do that. It's very odd how we kind of go back to that every time.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's certainly, you know, it's always, and this is the tough part about blowing a lead, if you make a couple of those shots, nobody questions any of it, and it's not even a talking point today. I will say, as we kind of, in a roundabout way, talk about the game again, because it was so captivating and so good, I think one of the biggest, and this is such a dumb thing to say, but I hope it makes a little more makes sense when I'm done with it. The NBA was the biggest winner last night, and well, duh, for obvious reasons. It's an iconic moment. It's OG Anunoby. It's the Knicks. They're a win away from the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
I want to paint an alternative world for you for a brief moment, and that world would be the Knicks don't have this historic comeback. The Spurs don't shoot early shots or make more of those early shots. And I'm not even saying the lead has to stay at 29, but they win comfortably.
They win by,
right?
17.
Win by 17, and the second half turns out to be a whatever kind of game. It's the first dud of the finals and the Stanley Cup or NBA Finals.
But you're tied 2-2 going back to San Antonio.
That is true. The series is more compelling. But the biggest takeaway, I think, from everybody today would have been how the officials lost the plot of the game. That we have set up through the first 3 games of the series, physicality is allowed. You're allowed to bump and push and grind. And then in the first 90 seconds of the game, you call 2 ticky-tack fouls on one of the best players on the team, who, by the way, many would argue had the negative side of the whistle at the start of the series, and he had to sit the rest of the first quarter.
Almost the whole first half.
And now we got flagrants are getting handed out left and right, but Wemby doesn't get a flagrant for shoving Brunson's head, which could have led to a suspension because he's one more flagrant away from a suspension, and he ended up getting, like, the entire conversation around that game last night, I think, would have been dominated by, in part, yes, 2-2 series. Oh, my God, are the Spurs going to win after losing the first two? It would have been an officiating conversation till the cows come home, in my mind. And instead, it ends up being, what an iconic moment and what a choke by the Spurs.
That's a very interesting takeaway.
I was screaming at my television in the first half.
The first foul.
How many reviews did we have in the first 5 minutes of the game?
Yeah, a little bit too much. The foul of Fox and Towns in the first possession of
the game. First possession of the game.
You can certainly watch a replay and say seven-foot guy is got his hip on the shooter who's 6'3". Yeah, they haven't been calling that for most of the game.
The entire series, yes.
So it's like, it's not just that you called it. You called it within like 10 seconds of the game starting. What are you doing? And then the next possession, he comes down. The arm does momentarily, when he catches the ball, has Wimby hooked. As soon as he dribbles, he clearly releases the arm. Wimby is clearly trying to sell
that he's holding his arm.
Being hooked. Yeah. And you reviewed it and still had a takeaway that it's an offensive foul?
I just don't get it.
And so I hear you. We would have brought it up. I don't know if that would have been the case, though. If they would have continued on and won by 17 or 20, I think we're largely talking, because that tells me Wimby didn't miss 9 of 10 shots.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, none of that stuff.
Their three-point ball kept dropping.
Right.
We would have talked about, hey, should the Spurs have swept? Hey, the Spurs seem like the commanding, dominant team of the series. Even though the Knicks won the first two, the Spurs kind of choked some stuff away when you look back at those home games. I think that's more the conversation than the officiating. I do agree, though.
How about the clear goaltend by Cornette that they didn't call?
Yeah, well, they had an out-of-bounds play that clearly was off Wimby.
It just felt like a handful of them early that I'm like, didn't we just talk about how Mike Brown ranted about officiating and now they're going to get the benefit of the whistle?
But I think the Knicks ended up shooting more free throws.
They did end up shooting more free throws.
If I'm not mistaken about that. So I hear your point. I would have certainly brought it up of... Yeah, maybe the Spurs still have a double-digit to 15-point lead. I don't think they're getting up by almost 30 if Cat doesn't have to sit for 85% of the first half.
I mean, they still couldn't miss, and you're still probably leading and all of that, but that fundamentally changes the complexion of the game.
Mike Brown had to play Jeremy Sochan because Mitchell Robinson was too tired because Cat was in foul trouble.
They gave one of their best players two ticky-tack fouls early. They obviously were very fortunate last night because that's an iconic moment and all that. I think for other reasons as well. Let's get to a couple of football notes. I got a couple of football nuggies, including a contract extension that was handed out. We'll get to the World Cup coming up a little bit later on this hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Shocked we haven't had the debate today. Who had the bigger comeback yesterday, Knicks or Giants? You know.
I'll see you at the parade.
Could have been the moment that sparked the comeback in the year.
The not last in the NL West parade, or is it a wrap?
I think we're still in last place.
Are you?
I think so.
I thought the Rockies had passed you up.
Oh, would that be Fall Below?
No, the Rockies are beating up on the Cubs.
Yeah, I think they're. I mean, that's
Fall
what I'm saying.
Below. Yeah,
yeah, I think the Rockies
saying.
Are ahead of us in the standings. I think we are in last.
You know, that's like the bracket stuff. I always get it backwards. I feel like.
Yeah, what's the right?
Yeah,
you know. Let's see. Let me take a look at my fun
facts. I know
facts.
It's close. It's back and forth.
My NOS. Ah, dang it. They are back below us.
Man. It's a wrap.
Dude, epic comeback starts right now. Last thing to get to in the show. We'll talk a little footy coming up in a bit as the World Cup begins today. You know us. A couple of soccer gurus. Follow it closely. We got all the ins and outs, the odds, the names you need to watch. We're ready to go. We're dialed in. The World Cup begins today.
How about one of those, real quick, one of those Seinfeld things? Because Seinfeld was there last night.
The tweet of the night came from a Seinfeld reference.
You saw this one?
Oh, I absolutely saw
it. I hope this is the one you're talking about.
It's our Lockie Lockerson was the first one I saw retweeted. I spent 10 minutes laughing at it.
Jerry's new girlfriend gets him courtside, but she turns out to be a Spurs fan. George can't watch the game because Frank insists on watching the Yankees play. Elaine pretends to be Mariska Hargitay to get into Dolan's box. And Kramer's hosting an illegal watch party outside of MSG.
That is so perfect. That's not actually the one I was referencing.
You got a better one?
There was one where it was a picture because they were standing next to each other. The camera caught them right next to each other on the court after the game. And it's Jerry talking to Larry saying, the Spurs know how to take the lead. They just don't know how to hold the lead. That's the important part of the lead. It's the holding of the lead. Anybody could just take a reservation. It's the holding of the reservation.
That's a good
one, the most important. A lot of good memes and moments coming out of the game last night. I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, very rich.
Billionaire.
Yeah.
Very.
He's going to be a billionaire.
Got to rework that deal.
Very rich, that Patrick Mahomes. They reworked his contract.
Such a weird way we do this with quarterback contracts.
How many times has he reset the – I feel like how many market sets do we have now from Patrick Mahomes? Quite a few.
Well, Burrow just got some of his signing bonus extended
We got to convert some salary into signing and that so we can have some cap flexibility.
It is the first ever NFL contract valued at over a half a billion dollars after two more years, I believe, are added on for old Mahomes, and he's now at 504
46 million. When that contract finishes up or something?
Let's see. How old is Patrick Mahomes right now?
I want to say 29.
Is he 30 yet? He just turned 30 September. Okay. So it runs through.
So he's going into 31.
He is going into his 31 season. Yeah. It'll be 31, basically the start of this year. Runs through 2033.
It's over.
So that's 7 years from now, right?
Oh, he'll only be 38.
He'll only be 38
by the time. He's got five more years after
that. Oh, dude, there'll be three more years extended on in 2 years and then a buyout.
Is he going to make $1 billion in contract?
Yes, he will.
Because didn't he get a 450?
This is the weird contract.
Yeah, so they just extended it up. They've tweaked this.
I believe I read that
this is a 10-year, $500 million deal, right?
The original one he signed was
10-year, $450 or something.
Record-breaking contract. They had already added on to it one other time.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I was thinking.
Now
about,
it's another add-on to the contract, and I believe I read that he had already taken home north of $250 million of the beginning of the deal.
So he won't make $1 billion in contracts, but he'd probably make $1 billion in investments in advertising.
Oh, easily total he will. Yeah, I mean, $500 million for this deal, it'll probably get ticked up to close to $650 million by it's done. Because think about the end years. If he's still playing at a decent level, like how old is Stafford right now? 37? 38?
38, I believe.
So he's going to be 37 at the current end of this valuation of the deal. You're going to get three more. What's the quarterback market going to be at that point?
$75 million.
Right by the time
probably.
We get, like, you could be making close to $100 million a year.
He could get a 2 year, $150 million extension.
Easily. Yeah, I would be shocked.
With $100 million guaranteed.
We're going to be debating. Darnold can't just take 55 a year.
Right. It's
really?
Insane, dude.
Come on, man.
I saw that yesterday. I'm like, nah, I'm going to be Patrick Mahomes. $500 million. First time an NFL contract has hit that mark. They restructured it, and they will do so again. Whether it's in 2 years from now or 3 years from now, who knows? But they'll do that again at some point.
In reading it, I don't know why, and I know we still will have football season and we're celebrating a finals day and all that stuff. I read that yesterday, and I did get stuck in thought for like a half hour, because I weirdly have these, like, I start thinking and then I do like segments in my own head, and I just, like, are we going to see him at the mountaintop again?
Where would the surprise level be if Patrick Mahomes never wins another Super Bowl?
It has to be substantially higher than saying he will.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right?
But even though they had a down year.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't win another one.
Does that team scare you?
No.
I don't think they do, because Chris Jones is at the tail end of this thing. Yeah.
Kelsey is at the very end of the thing.
Kelsey's at the back end.
Well, I think
Spags
the other thing
is not going to be their D coordinator forever.
Like, but when you talk about Mahomes himself, like, if the Chiefs decide to go and Reed wants to retire and Jones is done and Kelsey's done and Spags, and they decide to completely
reset. He's
going to
outlast all of that, yes.
Yes.
Then you could see them possibly trying to trade Mahomes and get, you know, 87 draft picks and 14
I can't ever
prospects.
See. He won't, I would be honestly pretty stunned if he's ever in a different uniform. And I know we've had Montana in one, Rodgers, Favre.
Brady.
Yeah, Brady's a great example. I understand that. I think.
How many only have done one?
Elway?
Well, Elway, Marino.
Elway, Marino.
Kelly?
Well, he played in the USFL for a bunch of years.
Yeah, but in the NFL.
In the NFL, he was only a Bill.
Yeah, only a Bill.
Favre wasn't even one. He was a Falcon before he was a Packer. But
yes, and then obviously at the end.
And maybe I'm a fool. And
Staubach with the Cowboys.
Jordan was in a Wizards uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Even Jordan did.
You're not exempt from it. I just don't know if I'll ever. There's something weirdly unique. Brady would have been one I would have said this, but there's something weirdly unique about the Chiefs with Mahomes. Mm.
Can't you see if Jarrah hadn't figured it out and Dak is done, him, you know, bringing
Mahomes to Dallas
back to Texas?
I don't think that's a thing for him. Why is that a thing for him?
That's a thing for Jarrah.
Is
and throw in some god, you know,
until
just
Dak wins a Super Bowl.
Gaudy
is it
contract.
For Jarrah?
Yeah.
Do you have evidence of that? Has he, like, said it out loud? I want to make Mahomes a Dallas Cowboy?
I don't know. It's just more the stunt aspect of it.
Is he alive
spectacle?
When this happens? I'm very curious.
Well, that's
about
what I'm
your,
saying.
Yeah, how many more years does Jarrah live? That's another question.
As long as Andy Reid and stays there in Kansas City, I think Mahomes will be there. If Andy Reid hangs it up, then all bets are off.
It is a very interesting year ahead, I think, to your original point on Kansas City, where I certainly am nowhere near the realm of, like, oh, it's over and they're not, you know, just because you have a down year and he's coming off an ACL. there's a trust level that they've built up with rotating pieces and young guys and drafting, you know, scrap heap guys and like still finding their way to be competitive and one of the best teams in the league. They were the epitome of the team. What was it, 2 years ago that they like, how do they keep winning those games? Does it make any, oh, there's a blocked field goal. Of course they won. Oh, there was a punt return for, okay, of course they won that way. Like they just were that, seemed to have like a rabbit's foot in their pants at all times. It is, though, an interesting year for them because I think the division, at least two of the teams I still believe in as playoff contenders, right? I think the Chargers got better this offseason with their coordinator hire and just a healthy offensive line. Denver is a healthy quarterback away, I think, from winning the AFC last year. Now, we see teams ebb and flow and have high moments and low moments. But if Kansas City is to, let's just play the game out, miss the playoffs this year and has a, he stays healthy, but they, you know, the receiver position is again a concern for them. I'm not sure if we're aware of this, but Rashee Rice seems to not be able to not get in trouble. Hollywood Brown has been fine, but not, you know, not Hollywood Brown, but who am I thinking from Texas? The other speedster.
Oh, Xavier Worthy.
Worthy, who's been.
But he got hurt,
fine,
like
but
the
he got
first
hurt early
play.
And it just,
I mean,
ran into a teammate. Kelsey certainly is not the player he was.
Worthy's not a one. He's barely a two, in my opinion.
And they might not have a one. And Chris Jones, to your point, has been such an instrumental part of that defense. Let's also not forget that they traded their best corner.
They're going
I don't blame them. They needed the salary cap space, and let's get the pick. And we didn't, you know, you got two first round picks and all that. But yeah, it'll be interesting.
Chris Jones literally won the Super Bowl last time they played the Niners.
Yes, he was very good in that game.
They could not block him.
No, he overblew. They had the ball with a chance to win the game, and they couldn't get it done because he blew up the play.
If he's gone,
they
and
win
I'm not
seven games and miss
somebody.
The playoffs. What is the question about them, or what's the conversation?
That's what I'm wondering. Because of the start of it all.
Yeah,
we instantly. Oh God,
Brady,
the next Brady, right? You sounded the alarms on this.
Brady,
like,
New
really?
England.
We're gonna go from Brady straight into the Mahomes.
Brady to Brady,
and he certainly has capitalized, right? He's got three championships. I think he's been to five, right? He lost to the Eagles and the Bucks. So
yeah,
he's got three. He's been to five already,
and two other AFC title games, right? Because they lost to the Pats and the Bengals, so seven AFC title games.
That's an entire career.
Oh, that's better than everybody
even
but
for
Brady,
the elite of elite.
Yes,
right. So like. It's not that he can't be Brady and match the total. It's that the realistic idea is we're not even thinking about it and considering it because it kind of sounds dumb to say it. That might be it.
Yeah, you never know when
realistically it could because you don't know how good or great other teams in the conference are going to. Is Cincinnati going to finally get back to being a playoff team?
Right.
Is Buffalo figured this out with a coach switch? Is Baltimore back? Will Pittsburgh ever get their heads out of you-know-whats? You know, you go around their division. Denver, to your point, AFC title game.
What if Mendoza's the second coming?
And the
Kubiak's
Patriots.
A great offensive mind.
You know, Vrabel's done with Russini. He's done doing it, and now
waits
for
the
Super Bowl to cut his ween off. You know, like I think it's so easy to lean in the side of, oh, Mahomes is healthy now. Oh, here come the Chiefs. Like, watch, it's going to pick up when we get to camp and the season's about to start. I was on the other side wondering, like, dude, I wonder if that was it, and we're not thinking about that because it seems kind of crazy to say.
It's the weird. It's like the old phrase, you never know the last time you're going to pick your kids up. People say that to myself as a young parent, like you never know when that moment is going to hit. You never know when the window closes. Sometimes you do because it's the end of a career and a guy retires or whatever.
Yeah, and you're
playing all the way till the end. But when guys are still in their prime, you just never know. Sometimes that's it. You won your last one, and you're not getting back and winning another one.
I think more of the Ed Helms line from The Office.
Don't know you're in the good old days till the good old days are gone.
The good days are gone.
Where'd they go, man?
You know, it's like, oh, my God, we're going to be in an AFC Championship game every year. started falling a little bit.
Yeah, Mahomes gets the extension. It is an interesting thought. I certainly don't think it's going to happen, but you can never say never in the sports world, and we'll see where they're...
Especially in that sport.
Especially in that sport with the parity that exists in the NFL. But Mahomes over $500 million, first one in NFL history to do that. We got another update as the world turns in this story, and the Footy Football Cup starts today. Let's talk about it, and we'll go there next. On the Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looks like it will be a lovely day today before we get to 100 degrees on Sunday and Monday. That'll be fun.
We'll see about that.
Ooh, TBD, are we calling fake news?
Poll questions up, by the way.
It's a wrap!
What do we got?
Will we see Patrick Mahomes play in the Super Bowl again?
Ooh.
Yes or no?
Who's got the balls to vote no on that one?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I just, you know, it's...
So you're actually believing this.
I have a lot
this.
Of respect for that franchise. Dude, they beat my favorite team twice.
Twice?
I have a lot of respect for that franchise. Yes. And I used to root for them as a kid when they were kind of the lovable, good, but loser.
Yeah.
Okay?
A lot of great, iconic players back in the day.
But I just, any idea that, like, the league won't have some wave and the new guys and the guys currently here that haven't done it yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's... Look at John Schneider's a good example of this. Now, he did do it again with an entirely different team. But there was a little bit of a gap between the last appearance and the next title, right?
There was. They were good a lot of the years, but not good enough.
So they missed on a lot of picks. It took them a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different quarterback that they did it with. And, yeah, they accomplished that goal, and it's not the Chiefs can. I just... You said who's willing to vote no?
Yeah.
I'll vote no because he already has a career's worth of accomplishments. And so to be able to do more than that, it's not going to be the most shocking thing of my life. But it's just like, oh, my God, you're going to get even more than you already have. And if it happens, it happens. But, yeah, I'd be willing to vote no.
You know what you did there?
Squeeze them damn things. Make sure you got two.
Did.
Two. Wait, what would we say if he was 39, he's at the end of this contract or whatever the next contract
sadly,
is?
Sadly, I think
he never went back.
It's dumb because we have really dumb conversations in the sports media world from time to time. I think we would view his career more as a what if than a legendary career. I genuinely do. Think about how many more years he would play and not go to the Super Bowl.
You think we would look at it as a
I think
what
we would
if?
Look back and say, how did you have that historic start and then you never got back to another one? That would be, so counting last year.
Because it takes a full team is what my response would be.
Well, are we smart and nuanced in sports debates?
I like to think we're somewhat nuanced.
I'm not talking about us.
Well, I'm talking about
the general we, the general sports media. If he played another 10 years
yeah,
and didn't get back to another Super Bowl, I mean,
it's certainly possible.
I will grant you that it's not the same in any way, shape, or form because
yeah.
he's accomplished far more. I think more people view Aaron Rodgers' career that way than do he won a Super Bowl.
Oh, I 100% agree
that,
with
God,
you on that.
God, you were so good and you
How
only won
he
one.
How did he only get one?
And then you never got back to
never
another
got.
One. If you would have said at the time he's never going to get back to another one, nobody would have believed
That's,
you.
That is kind
and of
also point,
my point.
Yeah.
But I just think that would lead us to, that would be a 11 years from now, 11 years of watching him,
yeah.
and he never got to another Super Bowl.
What year is this for him?
Or
what year is he going into?
He is going into counting his non-playing year as a starter or
no,
in the NFL?
No, just play as a starter. So
three,
after his
four,
first season.
5, 6, 7, 8. He's going into year 9.
So he's played 8 seasons now as a starting quarterback. I know he got hurt a little bit last year, and they weren't very good anyway.
That was the first year of his career they weren't in a conference title game, wasn't it?
You might be right. If you said he had 7, yeah, you're probably right on that.
Because they lost to the Bengals, they lost to the Pats, and then they'd been to 5 Super Bowls.
It was conference title game or better.
Yes.
Is basically what
they
did every
year.
Until
last season.
So, fair thing to wonder about the grandiose media takeaway on our show. I think we'll wonder, but like overall, dude, I'm going to say his first 8
I
seasons,
would agree
he
with
had
you.
3 chips,
I agree with
7
that.
Conference title yeah. appearances, and 5 Super Bowl appearances.
I'm not saying it would be my
and
argument.
How many league MVPs does he have? 2?
I believe so.
Is it 2?
I think so.
Maybe he gets another one, because in that league, you don't need to win the Super Bowl to get the MVP or
It'd be
the one seed.
You know what it would be? It would be the Benjamin Button John Elway.
What kind of media?
I know he's got 2.
That's a
and
good point.
Mahomes has 3, but it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
But Elway couldn't do it forever. And we always said he can't do it. And then he did it. And it was like, oh, that was kind of dumb. And Mahomes would be the opposite. He did it early and not late.
And in a way, with Elway, because I don't want to memory hole it, I remember watching TV and you'd watch some of the shows that existed in that moment. And people would kind of have a little bit of the, you know, hey, maybe if his teams were better, those past demons would have been slayed a lot sooner because it wasn't an Elway problem.
Yeah.
And then he got a run game and the defense was really good. And
Terrell Davis helped.
A player.
And, yeah. Great in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm not saying that would be my takeaway.
That's
no
way my takeaway because his career already right
is
now.
Is a Hall of Fame career. It's done. If he could retire right now, he'd go to the Hall of Fame.
Well, it's not just that. It's probably.
You wouldn't put him ahead of Montana.
No, but he's pretty close.
I mean, I think he's a better quarterback than Montana.
Well, that's the evolution of the sport, I think.
Athletically, yeah. Arm talent-wise, like, yeah, he's more talent. I mean, you can make an argument he's the most talented quarterback of all time, just from a physical standpoint.
Yeah.
He's certainly in
but
the debate
there.
But
seven conference title games in your first seven seasons as a starter.
Yes. How many conference title games did Montana get to?
Ooh.
I know they lost to the Cowboys
lost
a number
of
times.
Boys.
Two, at least.
Six or seven.
Because he won four Super Bowls. And only went to four.
Yeah.
Because he didn't lose one. Yeah.
Maybe six?
Six. So, yeah, he'd have one less AFC title game, but one more Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If that is how his career ends.
I mean, he's probably not going to be for most people. You know, once we put people at a certain pedestal, it's hard for us to ever knock anybody or put anybody past them.
That is true.
We don't want to be that way.
That is true.
But he's certainly in the conversation. And if you said, oh, I think he's more talented, I would pick him over Montana. I wouldn't, as even a Niner fan, go, oh, you're insane.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, I get it. I watched him play.
He's pretty damn good.
It's just worthy of a thought of like, dude, what if that was it after that Eagles Super Bowl? And in that moment, nobody's thinking that.
Nobody
is saying that. And even now having the conversation.
God, that Super Bowl sucked.
It was terrible. I feel like an idiot even being the guy to say this. But like, it's kind of nuts to say out loud, what if that was it for him?
Eli Manning, Big Ben, also won helmet, guys. Got texted in.
One helmet?
Oh, never changed
teams.
Big Ben the entire time.
Those are good ones.
Neither of them ended well.
No, Eli was.
Eli got benched, didn't he? And that was controversial, if I remember.
It was.
Everybody was pissed because they sucked.
They had to start him again because it was so controversial.
Wasn't it? Who did they put in for him? Was it? It was somebody terrible, if I remember. I remember being like, really? That's the guy you're starting? You're taking away the start? I mean, he was bad, but the team sucked. There was nothing you were accomplishing from it.
Who was that coach again? He's kind of the wide fella.
McAdoo? Was it McAdoo?
McAdoo. It was Ben McAdoo.
In his oversized suit that didn't fit.
Yeah, Montana got to six. They lost to Washington
early, right?
In the 83 season, and then they lost to the Giants in the 90.
He got benched.
He never lost to the Cowboys in an NFC title game?
No.
Really?
Maybe those were divisional round games then?
Because
remember
wasn't
when they
that
beat
the
him
thing.
With
they...
Clark, that was the deal. Maybe that was just the franchise in general then.
Because the Cowboys have been so dominant.
Geno Smith.
That was the only game they played against
the
Cowboys.
They lost his streak, so this was the controversial
That's
part.
That's right.
He had 210 consecutive regular season starts.
Yes.
And they benched him for Geno effing Smith.
Yes.
That Geno Smith. Not the other one that was good.
The one that's writing you back. It was the non-right back, Geno Smith.
Yeah, it was the, I've sent you three letters, you've not responded. Please call us at 1-888. That Geno Smith. They broke his streak, his start streak for that.
Yeah, I remember. That was very controversial. I apologize to our footy fans. We'll kick that to the final hour. The World Cup does begin today.
I mean, we're doing football.
We are doing football. Football is life.
And also, these football fans are enjoying all of what Americana is, and when they turn on sports radio,
they
want to
hear football.
Boy, they're not talking any World Cup today. It's a lot of football.
What's it we doing here? I wonder if there are any Europeans in Portland right now getting ready to travel maybe to, like, Seattle. Maybe you're doing a pit stop in Portland.
Did you see that German guy that's getting a lot of traction on the Twitter that we talked about?
Yeah,
Freddie. He posted a video of him driving in the country, you know, of Georgia, the countryside, and he's listening to Ella Langley is her name.
Yeah, she's very big right now.
Well, she's big, and this is funny because it got tied to my team. So they had somebody on the Braves got interviewed a couple days ago, and they're like, what's like a really unifying thing you guys are like listening to in the locker room?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, country music. And they're like, who? And he's like, Ella Langley's probably number one. And that was my introduction of who Ella Langley was.
Choosing Texas, baby. It's been number one on the Billboard hits for a
long I don't know what that
time.
Song is. And then this guy posts it, and he's like, oh, this Ella Langley person's amazing.
It's a good song. It's a good song. The rest of it's,
not saying
first
she's not
game
talented.
In Seattle is Monday afternoon.
Okay, so you might be in a little pit stop in Portland, you know, just kind of perusing around town, checking it out, our eateries, what do we have going on?
Got to see the waterfall.
To all of our European friends, hello, welcome, thank you for listening to the program. Latest update out of Texas, by the way, in a shocking development, Ken Paxton, their attorney general, has never done anything controversial in his career. Very stand-up politician. Hasn't been impeached or bribed anybody.
Hasn't let out a bunch of pedophiles.
No, that's never anything Ken Paxton has done. He is the attorney general of Texas. He has sent a letter to all of the schools in the Big 12 today.
Oh, what are we doing here?
Alerting the conference that Texas Tech would sue all of them if they do anything to not play them next year.
So Cody Campbell's now going the political route.
He's now going to the Attorney General of Texas, and they are threatening litigation against the rest of the conference, saying,
God,
we dare you. We dare you to do something about this.
Yeah, and they also basically
this is going to end well.
What do you do about this?
I don't know.
Are they going to go independent?
I don't know, dude.
Join the Pac-12.
I am. Yay! There you go.
We got Texas State.
We'll look the other way.
Well, I mean, just take you as a member. I really give up the other way. You can't play him, but you can join us.
We need you.
You want $9 million a year in media rights deals?
They don't need the extra money. We got a lot to get to in the final hour, and it starts with the Magic Hat next on The Fam.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.